greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, Lord. We just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Father, to take this time, Father, to yield ourselves to you, Lord, that we would hear your Spirit, Father, your Word. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, God. Give us wisdom, Father. Lord, just help us, Lord, to truly live by faith, Father. And again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to begin in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Here, Paul, writing to the Galatians, this whole chapter here is talking to basically that there was people that came in that were trying to reinstitute the law, and he was trying to teach them the differences of what it meant to be follow Jesus and instead of getting the things mixed up and twisted, getting them all twisted up. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. You know, you read back through these verses here and these chapters ahead, and it's just, you just want to read a few. This is not really what I just want to kind of give some background. In Galatians chapter 3, "Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even that though it was only a man's covenant, yet when it was ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." That is not to say unto seeds as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. Here he's, when he's talking about the covenant, you know, we talk about two covenants. The covenant that God gave, the first covenant, was to Abraham. He promised that his seed would be raised up. And that was the seed of Christ. It's not seeds, but seed. It was Christ that where this promise was coming from. And then I'm going to flip back and forth here to Hebrews chapter 9. It says, "Now when the first covenant had regulations of divine worship and earthly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle prepared," it's talking about the two covenants, and when it talks about the covenant, it was talking about the tabernacle. And the purpose for that tabernacle was to offer a sacrifice annually for their sins. The first covenant was given to Abraham. You know, whenever he was told to offer up his son, and he was going to offer his son, and then God held his hand and he found a ram and he offered a sacrifice there. That's where the covenant was revolving around. And then just to keep things in perspective here, the old covenant and the new covenant were both about blood. They were promises. And when Jesus came and ushered in the new covenant, it was because Jesus came and made his sacrifice to set us free. Now let's go back to Galatians 17, chapter 3, verse 17. What I'm saying is this. The law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant. In other words, the law came. You know, a lot of times when we think of this, the covenant, we go immediately, well, the law was the covenant. But the law was not the covenant. It was 430 years after the covenant. The covenant was about the blood all the way through. And the temple and the worship and the service and all of that stuff was all centered around that first covenant. What I'm saying is this. The law which came 430 years later does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on the law, it is no longer based on a promise, but God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. Let's go back to Galatians 5, back to where we were at. It is therefore for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You are not seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but that the one who disturbing you will bear his own judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I will still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity of the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not carry out the desire of the flesh. There's a lot of confusion today. A lot of different groups, a lot of different churches, and trying to do this or that to kind of set a mark. And I just want to kind of reiterate our goal and our purpose is we are a New Testament, New Covenant church. And we believe that Christ has set us free so that we could love one another. That's the goal. Talking to a man this week, and he said whenever he was growing up, every day his mother would somehow, during the time that they spent together at a meal, that she would always get in there about the golden rule, to love others ahead of yourself, or to treat others as you would like to be treated. And I just appreciated that the emphasis that at every meal that this mother instilled into her family, that the goal was that we're to love God with our whole heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the whole thing is all wrapped up around. Whenever we actually live that way, whenever we are free, that's the goal of how we're supposed to live, of how it affects other people. That how I deal with other people, would I want to be treated that same way that I'm treating someone else? To love one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we've talked about the boys' lesson. Several of them mentioned it, you know, about learning to live this way. Your neighbor, you know, who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is the people that you're working with, the people that you're with every day. Love your neighbor as yourself. We also had we've had some contact with a couple of different people, and you know, one of them is they're teaching some things in out of the Old Testament, it's just pretty easy to get. Try to adapt all that in. The problem is that our goal is to love one another. Our goal is to love your neighbor as yourself. And our emphasis again, we're the New Testament, New Covenant Church. You know, there's some that practice a little different and keep some things, but the thing about it is that's our goal, is to practice this. And we look at this and, you know, in some aspects, we can look at that, and we're looking back at the Old Testament, and then we think, just like everything else, we look back and say, well, that was for them. And so we're okay, because we're doing it a little bit different. But you know, like we've talked about before, the things that go on today, they may have a different name, but they're still the same old thing. Even practicing the things that are in the New Covenant, even practicing the things that Jesus talked about, can become the same bondage that he's talking about here. We talked with a man this week. We've had contact with him before, but he sent a message, and he just, you know, he was involved in several different things, and we've had contact through the years with him, and he's tried to promote this idea or that idea, and trying to appease the church groups that he's with, and just jumping through hoops and all kinds of things. And he just called this week, and he was just amazed. He's an older man, a very prominent man, and he just said, you know, he said, I feel like I've just been set free. He said, I've quit trying to jump through all these hoops to appease these churches. And he's even been excommunicated. And he said, but I, he was trying to fix it all. He was trying to, what happens is just what he was talking about here, or what the Bible is talking about here, the pressure to conform to this way or that way. He's lived under that bondage. And just like Paul was talking about, what happens is whenever we try to live under that bondage, we're not carrying the cross. That's not the cross. The cross is whenever we're excommunicated, or we're exorcised, or we're separated, or we're talked down about just because we're trying to follow Jesus. Just because we're just trying to live by this one thing, to love your neighbor as yourself. And it doesn't fit the molds. And when you try to conform, like Paul was talking about here in circumcision, or one this hoop or that hoop that you try to jump through to please everybody else, you're not carrying your cross. And it's a burden. And he was just overjoyed just to tell about the freedom that he felt, the peace that he felt, because now he could just worship God without all those hindrances. And they seem harmless. And they seem like, well, these are good things. You know, and they're not hard to do, a lot of them. You know, we could conform to, you know, I was with the Mennonites for a while, and it didn't bother me to wear black socks or a black shoes or a black coat, drive a black car. I could live that way. And so it doesn't feel like a law. But that's the problem. Just because we can do those things and it doesn't feel like a law, it's still trying to conform and wiggle around through a hoop. And there's a pressure there that can't bring freedom. It brings bondage, no matter how small it may seem. We're called to be free men. You know, like I said, some people do this and some people worship one way and some a little bit other. That's not the test, whether we can jump through this hoop or that. This man said that he was just trying at first. A few weeks ago we were talking and he said, well, I'm just trying to fix these problems with this. And I just said, you know, if you fix them with that group, you'll be in trouble with 9 others. It's just an endless circle. But just to step out and say, I'm going to live for Jesus. And I'm going to live with Jesus with the people that will let me live for Jesus. And I'll let them live for Jesus. You know, one of the things about bondage is, you know, what one of the secret things it does, it whenever we're living free, we can let others live free. But whenever it's binding us, boy, whenever somebody else doesn't agree with us, we just want to, boy, it just really digs at us. And we just got to try to bring them into the way I think. That's not freedom. You know, to have the freedom, you got to let others people. And you can't be judging other people because they don't measure up to what you're doing. That's freedom. You know, we see it in the world today. The big thing, you know, they used to, the queers and all of that stuff used to hide in a corner and, you know, we just had to kind of let them do whatever they want. That ain't good enough anymore. Now, you've got to agree with them. You've got to support them. You've got to be all behind them doing it or they're not happy. And that same thing happens in the church over things. You know, it's the same old attitude. It's not freedom. I'm in bondage and I want you to be in bondage too. And that pressure is so alive and well in churches today. And it's the same kind of pressure that is right out there in the world that we think stinks whenever they're trying to ram something down our throat. And churches that look good and have New Testament principles, but you got to do this or we don't agree with you, are the exact same spirit that's out there. See, when you worship in spirit and in truth, you got to look at, am I doing the exact same thing the world is doing, only with a plain doctrine or whatever? Got the same attitude. I look at people the same that don't agree with me. Still the same old spirit. It doesn't matter how nice a dress you put it in, or how nice a suit you put it in, or how wonderful the doctrine you put it in. You can have a complete New Testament ideals and live by them and have the very same spirit that the queers have. And it's the same. It just looks a lot better. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And it's a blessing that this man has tasted that freedom. We've been trying to share with him for years, time that quit trying to jump through all these hoops. Live for Jesus. And if the religious people hate you for it, bear your cross. Find some people who will just love you and let you be what you need to be. That's a New Testament church. A covenant. A new covenant. We're under a new covenant, and that covenant is love your neighbor as yourself. And actually live that way. Don't, you can take that motto and be just as religious as anybody else. But when you actually apply this and just live it, the freedom. You know, the glorious thing about freedom and peace, they come with a cross. But that cross doesn't take away your freedom or your peace. No more than a pair of handcuffs or put in jail or whatever. I mean, the saints that have gone through persecutions had that freedom and peace, freedom and peace and rest. No matter what kind of torture or punishment they were given by those who had no freedom and had no peace and had no rest. May the Lord add his blessing. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. That's the heart of the New Testament. That we are individuals that have chosen to follow Jesus, and we're going to obey. We're going to do his will. We're going to hear what he says. And we're going to actually apply it to our hearts and minds. That was by faith. Abraham did what he did. By faith. Anyway, all right. Well, we're going to... Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
My step... my uncle and aunt lost her home yesterday morning due to a fire. And one of my loving people I correspond with also lost his home yesterday due to a fire. So keep it.
Okay.
For the boys' lesson next week, give an example of how you might love God, an example of how you might love your neighbor.
Okay. Yeah, and whoever gives boys' lesson, try to remember to give it Sunday morning this time. Okay.
2 o'clock or even a little before.
Okay.
Well.
All right.
God, you love everybody. You know, everybody gets saved. God, nothing else.
Amen. Amen.